Thank you, Melissa. What a joy to be with you on this last Sunday of 2020. This has been an amazing year, hasn't it? Nobody could have seen this coming, but praise the Lord. The Lord knew what was going on, and I am so grateful to be with you on this last Sunday of the year. How many of you are glad to be in church on the last Sunday of 2020? I mean, listen, let's be honest. It's a whole lot better to be here than be in a lot of other places that some folks could be. And for those that are joining us by live stream, I'm glad that you're with us. For those of you who are not feeling well, we're praying for you. And I know that there's several families in the church that have been affected by the coronavirus or other illnesses. And what a joy to see some of you back. I was glad to see some of you. It kind of reminded me, you know, my family and I, we had COVID back in June. And the first Sunday we were back, one of the folks here in the church saw us and they said, "Unclean, unclean." I hope you don't feel that way, but I just have to tell you, I'm glad that, you know, the Lord has helped so many of us to recover, and let's continue to pray for those that are not well. I don't know about you. I love Christmas. I had such a fun time this week. I love all of the food. I know Brother Tony has already alluded to the fact that I like food. You don't get to be this size by being picky. And one of my favorite things that my wife does at Christmas are these little cookies. She takes a cookie recipe. It's sort of like a regular, sugar cookie, but then she adds chocolate to it. And she adds so much chocolate to it that it literally becomes fudgy, okay? And then she rolls them into these little balls, and then she covers them in pecans. And then she sticks her thumb down in there and she puts them into the oven and she cooks them just until they're still chewy and fudgy, all right? And then when she pulls them out of the oven, my son and I, we can't stay out of them. As a matter of fact, we almost had a family strife this year at Christmas because that first batch got finished before the next step. And the next step's not bad. She makes homemade caramel and puts it down inside of the hole of that chocolate cookie. And folks, I got to tell you, Christmas is good. Christmas is good. I hope you've enjoyed Christmas. How many of you have enjoyed this last week? Would you just raise your hand if you found something to be thankful for? I'll tell you what, I've just been so grateful to the Lord. And of course, spending time together as a family this year was very, very important. And, you know, getting together with my kids and playing some games, we had a lot of fun there. And then, of course, reading the Christmas story together, we always do that. And just spend some time thanking God for all of His blessings. I know this has been a tough year, but folks, I hope you can find something to rejoice about and to thank the Lord for, because He has been good to us this year. All right, if this was the year that God wanted to wipe us out, He could have done it really easily, and by His grace, we're still here. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to open them, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'd like to thank Pastor Gillett for the opportunity to preach this morning. I'm so just excited to get to be in my own home church and be able to preach on this last Sunday of the year. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see what God's got for us in 2021. I really believe that 2021 is going to be a year of testing for us to see if we're going to continue to do the things that God has asked us to do. And I believe God has great plans for all of us. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you'll begin reading with me in verse number 14, just follow along as I read from verse 14 down to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this year in which You have shown us time and time again that You are omnipotent God. Lord, You have all things in Your hand, and we are so grateful that You have protected us and provided for us and allowed us to come until today. And Lord, I pray that You would help us as we look to this next year to continue in the things that You have shown us and that You have taught us and that You have for us. And so, Lord, I pray that You would bless as I preach from Your word this morning. Let Your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Verse number 14, we find one word, and I'd like to preach on that one word today. The word is the word continue. Continue. If you were to look up continue in a dictionary, you're going to find that it's defined in two ways. Continue can be defined as to persist in an activity or process. That's the first way that continue is. We just continue to persist in that activity or that process. The second way that continue can be defined as to recommence or resume after an interruption. To recommence or resume after an interruption. As you consider God's desire that we should continue forward into 2021 and to continue in His Word and to continue in His will, I would ask you to think about this difference between continuing what we're already doing and not stopping what we're doing, or perhaps for some of us to start back up again something that maybe we've gotten off track a little bit. You know, in a year like 2020, let's be honest, it's easy to get off track. Dr. Barber this morning in the Sunday School Hour was talking about how important it is to be in church. If you can possibly be here, to be in church. I've heard people this year say, you know, I don't really feel a need to go back to church. I watch it online. It's more comfortable. It's more enjoyable. I'm able to sit here in my pajamas and drink my coffee. And if that's necessary because of illness, I understand that. But when you're ready, I hope you'll come back to church, because there is something so important about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. See, we need to continue. We may need to recommence or resume after an interruption. And so as we continue forward, God has great benefits that He will give to us. Yesterday morning, as I was preparing to preach, I took some time to watch a memorial service for a pastor in Mexico. This particular pastor was not very well known. His church was not very well known. 58 years of age. 3 weeks ago, he preached his last message. He was in a conference together with his son, and the two of them were preaching. He got COVID. He started having some breathing problems. They took him to the hospital. They had to intubate him. And the lack of oxygen affected his heart. A week ago today, we received the report that he was doing better. It looked like he'd maybe rounded a corner and he was beginning to do well. And then last Monday morning, we awoke to the news that at 2:30 in the morning on Monday of this last week, he had passed into the arms of the Lord. He'd had a massive heart attack and he was no longer there. Pastor Victor Castillo was an amazing man. He was faithful. He took a church in Mexico that when he became the pastor of that church, literally no one wanted to touch that church. It was a church that had gone through incredible trials, incredible difficulties. They didn't have anything to offer to him as the pastor. There was no bonus package about going there. And yet he said, they need someone, and I'm willing to go. He went to that church, and he began to work in that church. And his own son was speaking in the funeral, saying that at times he gave as much as 50% of what he received. He'd put it back in the offering to cover the expenses of the church's needs. There was no roof. There's still no roof over the church till today. They have a tarp, a nice, solid plastic tarp, but it was bought by the pastor. Installed by the pastor. He was a man who, at his funeral, was known for having dirty shoes. One of the pastors got up and he was talking about this pastor's dirty shoes. And then he said, but before you judge him for having dirty shoes, please understand that it was because he was walking through the dusty streets of Texcoco, leading souls to the Savior. You see, this was a man who, when others would have quit, he just kept on. He was faithful. He continued. The Bible has a lot to say about continuing. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, we find commands about continuing. In John chapter number 8, verse number 31, the Bible says that Jesus said, continue in my word. In John 15 and verse number 9, Jesus says, continue in my love. Hebrews 13, 1, a very similar verse, says, let brotherly love continue. There's lots of things that are supposed to continue. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 43, we are commanded to continue in the grace of God. In Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22, we are commanded to continue in the faith, and that's repeated again in Colossians 1:23. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 5, we are commanded to continue in the truth of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2, we're commanded to continue in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, we're commanded to continue in faith, charity, and holiness. In 1 Timothy 4:16, we're commanded to read, exhort, and stay in sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy 3:14, the verse that we just read, we are commanded to continue in the things which we have learned and which we have heard. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:24 that we are to continue in the Son and in the Father. Time after time after time in Scripture, we are told continue, 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 continue. And I know that this morning preaching to Worth Baptist Church, I'm not telling you anything you've never heard. We already knew that. We knew we were supposed to continue. We know that we're supposed to continue. Paul wrote in Acts chapter 26, verse number 22, that he continued witnessing. One time in the New Testament, we find the question, shall we continue in sin, with a negative? Shall we continue in sin, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. And he says in verse number 2, God forbid. God forbid that we should continue in sin. And maybe if this year you've kind of gotten derailed and maybe you've fallen into sin this year, this would be a great Sunday to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need to stop sinning. I want to get back on track with you. I want to continue doing what's right and stop doing what's wrong. You see, God wants every believer to continue in these things that He has taught us, to continue in His word and to continue in His will, because there are four great benefits that He would like to bestow upon us. If you'll look back with me in our text, I'd like for you to see these four benefits that God gives us if we will just continue. First of all, in verse number 14, I want you to notice the benefit of success. The Bible says in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So what is this talking about here? Now, a lot of people struggle defining success. They're not even sure what success is. Last night, I got on the internet and looked up the phrase, how to be successful. I wanted this to be as absolutely recent as possible. Last night on Google, there were 69,300,000 different things on the internet telling you how to be successful. Let me assure you, probably about 299,999 of them weren't right. Okay? There's everything under the sun as far as how you should be successful. Many people who look successful are actually miserable. Okay, you show me a person who, according to the world, he's successful. I mean, he's got money. He's got fame. He's got athletic ability. He could play for the Tar Heels if he wanted to. I mean, he could do just about anything. And they're miserable. Miserable. You hear about people who are famous, who have everything this world could offer, taking their own life because they're in such great misery. That's not success. That's not success. Zig Ziglar said, money won't make you happy, but everyone wants to find that out for themselves. You know, everyone on earth says, okay, I know money won't make me happy, but Lord, give me a whole bunch of it just in case it does, okay? It doesn't work that way. Once a millionaire was asked, what would make you happy? He said, one more million. One more million, if I could just get one more million. All of us probably have a dollar amount in mind. If I had that much money in the bank, then I'd be okay. But we wouldn't be happy if we had that amount of money. That's not the way success works. Can I tell you how success works according to the Bible? You see, the Bible gives us a very clear path to measurable success in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, where the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success is not in having a bigger home, a nicer car, a greater paycheck. It's not in having more academic or athletic ability. It's not about having a more beautiful wife. It's all about knowing and doing God's will. That's what brings success in our life. And that's what Paul was writing to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3:14. He says, continue thou. Just continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see, Paul told him, you've already got everything you need. You have the Bible. You have the scriptures. You just need to continue in this. And if you'll continue in this, you'll have true success. True success is in knowing and doing God's will. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father shall abide forever. When we understand that just knowing and doing God's will is enough, and we just buckle down and continue doing that, we will find true success. And so the first benefit of continuing is success. The second benefit is security. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, a couple of things I'd like to point out about some words in that verse. The word child there can actually be translated as newborn. As a matter of fact, in many places in our King James Version, that word is translated as a newborn. When is a good time to start teaching our kids about God and the Bible? When they're newborns, okay? From little tiny babies. From the time they're very, very young. My parents started teaching me when I was very, very young. I don't even remember the first time that I learned a verse. I was not yet 3 years old when my parents, who at that time were members of the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Dr. Lee Robertson was the pastor, they told Dr. Robertson, little Billy can say Psalm 23. And he said, great, have him come up and we'll have him do it to the whole church. And my dad got up there and he says he was trembling so hard he couldn't remember a single word of Psalm 23. He's holding me up to the microphone and he said, dear God, I cannot remember this passage. Help him to remember. And I quoted Psalm 23. From a child. We're supposed to teach them from a child. That's why it's important that we have a children's pastor. I'm so glad for Brother Bob Mann, Miss Lindsay, and their family that are here. Praise God that they're here to work with children, to teach children the Word of God. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. And not only do we teach them when they're children, we continue, okay? And that gives security. You might say, well, how does that exactly give security, Brother Bill? Listen to what 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. I hope you understand that there are two competing forces in the world. On the one hand, we have God who wants us to know the truth. Young people, children, God wants us to know the truth. But the devil wants to destroy us. He wants us to believe a lie. He wants us to go after things that do not satisfy, things that do not bring us success, things that bring about destruction. And so as parents, if we can teach our children to walk in the ways of the Lord, we are giving them a huge amount of security. That is such a secure place to ask yourself this question, is this right? Does this please God? Is this something that would go along with what the Bible teaches? And then we make decisions based on that. Oh, that gives us so much security. And then when Christian parents continue to teach and the child, perhaps grows up one day and then has to see the parent go off into eternity and they stand before the casket and they're very sad, yes, but they sorrow not as those that have no hope. Why? Because they know where their parents are. Maybe you've had to say goodbye to a friend or a family member this year. and it's been incredibly hard as you say goodbye to them, and your heart is literally torn out of your body almost, and yet to know that they're with the Lord, oh wow, that brings security. I hope that your family knows beyond any doubt that you know the Lord as your personal Savior. I hope your children and your extended family have that type of security as well. That's the kind of security that God will give to us as we continue in His Word. That's why it says in verse number 15 that it will make you wise unto salvation. That is that security that God wants to give to us. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 20 talks about this instruction being given by the parents. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them upon thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." You see, the greatest security that we can have is knowing where we'll spend eternity and knowing what the truth is. To be able to differentiate between truth and a lie, that's what happens when we have the Word of God. When we face the greatest dangers of our life, we're probably going to quote a verse. Maybe you know Psalm 56 and verse number 3. You may not know it by the reference, but perhaps you've heard these words. The Bible says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." What a wonderful comfort it is to have that security, no matter what the circumstances that are going on in your life, to just say, "Lord, thank you for the security that I have in Jesus Christ." The third benefit that comes from just continuing is sanctification. Now, I'd like for you to notice in verse number 16 that the Bible actually speaks here of four different ways that God helps us to be sanctified. To be sanctified means to be set apart. It means to be separated from the world, separated from sin, separated to Christ. That is a very special separation to Him, designated for His purposes. And so we see four ways that the Bible does this. I would like for you to notice, first of all, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, doctrine is teaching us how to do what is right. The second word that's mentioned here is reproof. Reproof is teaching us how we have done wrong. The third word is correction. Correction is teaching us how to get back to doing right. And then the fourth phrase is instruction in righteousness, and that is teaching us how to continue to do right. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I want you to notice the contrast there between the one who is walking with sinners, fellowshipping with sinners, sitting at the table with sinners, listening to sinners, obeying sinners, following sinners, and the one who delights in the Word of God. That is sanctification. When we get into the Word of God, we're going to stop running with the wrong crowd. When we get into the Word of God, we're going to stop listening to those lies. When we get into the Word of God and we do His will, we're not going to continue to be like the world. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Listen, God wants us to be sanctified. You see, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither yet can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." There is this war that's going on. And the war is between good and evil. The war is between God and the devil. The war is between truth and lies. The war is between doing what is right and doing what is wrong. And when we decide to continue in the Word of God and in the will of God, we will find ourselves being sanctified day by day. There's three aspects of sanctification. There's immediate sanctification at the moment of salvation when positionally we are put in Christ. But there's also progressive sanctification as we learn to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and we become more and more separated from the world and more separated to God. And then there's this final sanctification when you and I reach heaven, when we are no longer in the presence of sin. Boy, that'll be wonderful. You won't even have a sinful thought. You'll never be tempted again to sin. That will be complete sanctification. God offers these benefits to those who continue in His Word, doing His will. The fourth benefit that we get from continuing is satisfaction. Now, I'd like for you to look at verse number 17. The Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we were to do, some sort of a survey here this morning, and we were to go person by person and ask, how many of you in this room feel like you are already completely perfect? And you'd say, yeah, that's me. I feel perfect. I'm right here. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Most of us would have to say, I'm not perfect. I know some of you think your spouse is perfect. All right? But we tend to fall short on that, don't we? And so I looked up that word to see exactly what does that mean. Okay, because we sometimes get hung up on that word. We're like, okay, well, God wants us to be perfect, and obviously it's not working. Well, that word perfect can be translated in two other ways. First of all, it can be translated as complete. Complete. All right? And the second way it can be translated is satisfied. Satisfied. Now, what does it mean to be satisfied? What does it mean to have satisfaction? Have you ever gone about a day and you tried to do things God's way? You got up in the morning, you had your devotions, you spent your time in prayer, you read from God's word, you went to work, you did everything you were supposed to do at work, you maintained a good witness, perhaps you even spoke to someone about the gospel, maybe you even gave somebody a tract, and you tried to do things right that entire day, and that night when you pillowed your head, you just said, Lord, that was a really great day. That was just absolutely wonderful. Lord, today, December 27, 2020, I tried to do your will. Lord, as I think back, if I messed up, I don't remember anything right now, and please forgive me if I did, but Lord, today was just awesome. Can I tell you what continuing will do? Bring satisfaction. It brings great satisfaction, not just to us. It brings satisfaction to God. Do you remember when Jesus was here upon this earth and the Spirit came down as a dove and there was a voice from heaven? And the Bible says that God said about Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine hearing those words being spoken to you that might be spoken about you that the Bible records? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Can I tell you how that would happen? How you can have that kind of satisfaction? Just continue. Continue in God's word. Continue in God's will. There's a lot of verses in Scripture that when we read them, sometimes we say, well, I'm not 100% sure what that means. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 52 is one of those words, one of those verses. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus, now listen, increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Now here's the perfect Son of God. And the Bible says that He, Jesus, increased in wisdom. How's that possible? He's already omniscient. He increased in favor with God. The word favor there, by the way, has to do with grace. He is grace. How's that possible? I'll tell you. Because He continued. He just continued. He continued to do the will of His Father. He continued to do what He was supposed to do here upon this earth. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 8 and verse number 29, he gives us a hint as to what this means. The Bible says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." But listen to this last part. "For I do always those things that please him." I do always those things that please him. And as Jesus continued to please the Father, he increased in favor with his own Father. Wow. That's awesome. As he continued seeing all that was going on and preaching and teaching as he should, he was increasing in wisdom. That's amazing. Proverbs has a word for us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths." What are we going to do as we finish out this year that perhaps has been one of the most difficult, tumultuous years we've ever faced? A year when things that we thought were going to go one way certainly didn't go the way we expected. And yet God had a perfect plan through it all. And we can finish out this year on this last Sunday of the year and say, you know what? God's been good. He's been good to me. He's given me so many blessings that I didn't deserve. He's helped us through difficult waters. This year, man, we had things happen we never expected to happen. Within 2 weeks, we had to replace our roof and we had to change out our AC and heating unit. Man, that'll really get you. Praise God for Brother John Wilson coming to our rescue and getting that roof up within literally one morning. It was amazing. Can I just say this? God knew everything and he was a step ahead of us the whole time. I am so grateful that as I start 2021, I don't have to worry about who's going to sit in the White House, although there's a lot of people worried about that. We don't have to worry about that because we know who sits on the throne of heaven. And we don't have to worry about what kind of politics or what kind of financial situation we're going to be in or what actually happens with this vaccine. We don't have to worry about that. We can just continue. Continue in God's will, continue in God's word. And know that if we'll do that, we'll find success. We're going to find security. We're going to find sanctification. And we're going to find satisfaction. If we continue in God's word. I'm convinced this morning that there's probably three groups here. There's probably someone here who still does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You may have heard before about Jesus, but you've never made him your Savior. The Bible tells us that all are sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for my sin. We're going to have to spend eternity somewhere. The Bible also says that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came here to this earth and paid my price upon Calvary. He paid for my sin. He paid for yours. And Jesus Christ is here today. And he is among us in this room desiring to extend salvation to anyone that will come to him by faith requesting salvation. If you've never been saved, can I just encourage you that on this last Sunday of 2020, this would be a great time to come to the Lord and come up front, find someone of the counselors that'll be standing up here and say, I need to get saved. I need to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd be part of a second group. You're part of the group that needs to continue. You've gotten derailed. You've had some interruptions. Your Christian walk isn't exactly where it needs to be and you just need to get back on track. And this would be a great time to spend some time with the Lord and just come up and say, Lord, you know where I am. You know what happened. You know why. Lord, would you help me to get back on track? I need to continue. Maybe you're here and you're part of that third group and you'd say, you know, Brother Bill, I really believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I know that in order to continue doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I need God's help. There are times that I'm tempted to fall and to fail and to go away, but I need God's help. And whatever that is here on this last Sunday morning of 2020, maybe you need a place to pray and come up and just spend some time with the Lord. And I'd encourage you to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for your word that very clearly teaches us just to continue. And Lord, you've taught us what we needed to know. You've given us your word. We have all we need right here in this Bible. But Lord, I pray today that you would help us to listen to your sweet voice and obey your will. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed and no one's looking around. Maybe you'd be here this morning and you'd just say, you know, Brother Bill, I'd like to thank the Lord that he is my Savior. He saved me from my sin. I didn't deserve it, but I sure am grateful. And I'd just like to lift my hand as a means of thanking God that I know him, that he is my Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. If that's true, would you raise your hand with mine this morning as a testimony of your salvation? Amen. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You may lower your hands. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know, Brother Bill, I couldn't raise my hand. I just don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And you'd say, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else, you'd say, please pray for me. I need to be saved. I'd like to ask you to do something if you just raise your hand here in a moment. If you'll come forward, there are ladies and gentlemen here in the front that would gladly pray with you and show you from God's word how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Brother Bill, I do know the Lord is my Savior, but I recognize I need to get back on track. There are some things in my life that just kind of got derailed, interrupted, and I know I need to continue in the things of the Lord. You'd say, please pray for me. God has spoken to me this morning. If that's true, would you raise your hand with mine? I'd like to pray for you as well. God bless you. God bless you around the room. Amen.